All right, if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to James chapter 1? James chapter 1. Let me know when you get there. Amen. Is my mic on? It is. Thank you. All right. Last week we learned that our trials were given to us to make us complete Christians, right? We should not grumble over our trials. That's good for all, isn't it? We shouldn't grumble when things happen like that in our lives. We need to seek the Lord and maybe look at what God's trying to teach us through the trials and tribulations of our life. James is such a very practical book because it deals with the maturing of the believer and how we grow in our walk for the Lord. So it's a great, great book. In fact, that boils down to how well we do our actions through faith. And what we saw was that when we face our trials, when we face our tribulations, we're supposed to do it with enjoyment. Remember? Count it all joy. What did you say, Pastor? Yeah. When you go through those hard times and the heartaches, count it all joy. Because endurance says the trying of your faith is going to work patience. And that enlarges our lives because we will become mature, complete, fully grown in the Word of God, and we will lack nothing. We'll be enriched in everything. God's going to use our trials and our temptations to grow us. But you know one of the godly characteristics that you really need in the midst of trials? You know what it is? Let's all say it together.
Wisdom.
Wisdom. Wisdom. We all need wisdom. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He'll not rebuke you for asking. But when you do ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything that they do. Folks, we are living in a country, and in fact, in a world that's literally exploding with knowledge. Never in history of the world have more people known more things about more things than people do today. We are just inundated with all of it. But we're living in a country of educated fools. We have accumulated knowledge about the world, but we haven't learned how to live in the world. We haven't learned how to live with one another. Don't get me started. All right. Knowledge is what you have in your head. You know, you get your book learning from knowledge. Wisdom comes from your heart. Knowledge is the accumulation of facts. Wisdom is the application of those facts, but by faith. Isn't that how we're supposed to be living? By faith?
Amen.
Yes, we are. Wisdom is not merely being smart. You can have an IQ and be as dumb as dirt, right? I don't know about you. I've run across a lot of people like that.
Amen.
In fact, when I was in the fire department, for those of you that are firemen, you'll understand this, and maybe those of you that don't probably will understand it too. We had a lieutenant who was fresh out of officer's candidate school. And when he got there, he kind of rearranged the fire department for us. And he would quote rules, and he would quote regulations, and he would tell us how to do everything down to the... And we would practice that stuff, right? But on the fire ground, he was completely lost. He didn't know what to do. I remember pulling up to a fire, people hanging out of the building, screaming and hollering. You see smoke and flames everywhere. And here he is walking around going, now, first of all, we need to take this ladder, and then we need to take... He was completely useless on the fire ground. We just started putting ladders up, throwing things up, bringing people down. Everybody got out. And he's still quoting regulations to us. He knew the procedures, but he couldn't apply them. He didn't know what was going on. He had knowledge, But he didn't have wisdom.
Amen.
Wisdom does not merely mean information. It means the application of information with divine power so that it reshapes your life, it transforms your attitudes and our behavior. And what it transforms it into is right actions, doing the right things. Folks, wisdom's not what we know. Wisdom is how we live. That's wisdom. It's learning to see life from God's point of view. And one of the reasons why it's so important to read the Scripture and to memorize the Scripture and to study the Scripture is so that we can apply the Word of God in our lives to the things that happen in our everyday life. You see, knowledge looks at what happens. Wisdom understands why it happened. That's the core difference between the two. Y'all remember David and Goliath, right? Any of you remember, were you there for the battle? Yes, no, none of us were there, I don't think. But anyway, David, had he relied on his knowledge, would have never fought Goliath. Goliath was 72 feet high, or something like that. He was taller than everybody else. I don't think he was 72 feet high, but he was big. And what Israel did when they saw Goliath, they said, he is so much bigger than we are. We can't do anything with him. David looked in Goliath and said, look how small he is compared to God. That's amazing. You know, some people have said to me, well, if that was such a great thing, why did David take 5 stones? If he knew it was only going to take 1 to kill Goliath, why did he take 5 stones? Well, folks, you ought to go to 2 Samuel. Goliath had 4 brothers. So here we go. With the first stone, David got Goliath. With the second stone, he got his first brother. With the third stone, he got his second brother. With the fourth stone, he got his third brother. And with the fifth stone, he could have gotten his fourth brother. Now, y'all want to repeat that with me?
No.
We've got to understand, wisdom is doing what's right because you know what's right. Wisdom is looking in the right place for the answers to life's problems. So, where's the right place? Oh, I know. We can find the answers to life, all of the answers to life, in the Word of God. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3 says, call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Wow. You know, when I was in seminary, one of my professors said to me, the wise man is not the man who has all the answers. The wise man is the one who knows where to find the answers. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 5? Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they that testify of me. So we need to look to the Lord Jesus. When wisdom is living in obedience and faith, regardless of the circumstances. It's doing whatever God tells us to do and letting God take care of the circumstances. Can somebody turn the air conditioning on? I'm about to die up here. Thank you. It's one thing to know what wisdom is. I mean, to know what it is. It's another thing to know how to get it. Let me ask you a question. Are you facing a problem and you need God's wisdom to solve it? Are you going through a difficulty and you've tried every answer and all of them are wrong? Well, here's how to get wisdom. First of all, you've got to admit your need for wisdom to the Lord. You have to. Isn't that what verse 5 says? If you need wisdom, ask our generous God. You're going to have to go to God with your problem and say, Father, I don't know how to solve this problem. I can't handle this problem by myself. I can't work out my marriage on my own. I can't handle the finances any longer. I can't deal with the kids anymore. Folks, we need to admit that we need heaven-sent wisdom. It's amazing how when we get into a bind or we have a problem that we can't solve, we turn to everyone except God and we look everywhere but up. We need to be looking up. When troubles come or trials rip into our homes, instead of wringing our hands, We need to be bending our knees. Instead of pacing the floor, we ought to be praying in faith. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that God can give us wisdom?
Amen.
You do? Good. Because complete trust in God and in His ways is what He's after in our lives. Now, I know that there are those out there, and it's called kind of, I guess it's the name it and claim it kind of thing. You know about that? You know, all you have to, if you want something, you just name it, tell God what you want, and open your door, and there it's going to be. Nah, I don't think so. James is saying that God, if God commands something, God will give it to us. Paul told Timothy, God gives us richly all things to enjoy. His people need to ask for wisdom. Our faith shouldn't be in ourselves. Our faith has got to be in God. And if He wants to give us something according to His will, He'll give it to us. Can I get it? Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Now look, God may not want you to be the most handsome or the most beautiful person in the room. Well,
that's fine.
He may not want you to have that house or that car. He may not want you to be healed from that disease. Remember back in 2 Corinthians when Paul said, I implored the Lord three times, take this affliction from me. Please, God, take it from me. Three different times he said that. And the Lord's reply was, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. See, God's trying to work out things in our lives. Sometimes we don't understand that. And we grumble and complain and we tell God all kinds of things. And God just goes, Joey, Joey, Joey. Folks, God is going to give us what we need when we need it. But I do know this, God wants to give us wisdom. He really does. And anyone who doesn't pray for wisdom really thinks that God is either too busy, he's too unloving, he's too powerless to answer that prayer. So we need to have wisdom, but it has to be faithful. So we also learn that God gives us wisdom generously. God doesn't just give it to us. He gives it to us generally. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He'll give it to you. He has an unlimited supply, folks. He really does. It's ours for the taking. What James is saying is, get wisdom. Go ask the Lord for it. So He gives us wisdom generously. Further, He gives it to us ungrudgingly. Now, that word simply means it's without reluctance. There's no reluctance to God. You ask for wisdom, He's going to give it to you. And He gives it to all of His children when they ask for it. Don't assume because you got saved, God gives you wisdom. No. If that were true, that verse 5 wouldn't be there. If you had wisdom, ask for it. Right? Folks, God only wants for us what we would want for ourselves if we were really thinking about it properly. So there's hope for all of us. No matter our condition, no matter our station in life, we need to ask God for wisdom for our everyday life. He's generous in giving us wisdom. Now, He's not saying that we need to be perfect Christians. Any perfect Christians here? Don't put your hand up. And nobody here is perfect. What He's saying is we need to be committed Christians. We need to be faithful Christians. We shouldn't be unsettled in the things of God. And we can't go back and forth. We need to be in faith, be committed to God, and trust that He is who He says He is, and that He'll do what He says He does. He will do. So getting wisdom is simply asking God for it. But there's a sense of expectation. Look at verse 6. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not the man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Folks, we need to believe that God will answer our prayers Do you believe God answers your prayers?
Yes.
Have you seen God answer your prayers?
Yes.
I have too. That word double-minded literally means two-souled. In other words, it's just kind of a spiritual schizophrenic. One time you got faith, next time you got doubt. Your faith, you doubt. It's like trying to drive a car with no ignition key. You know, you get in your car and you want to go someplace, but if you don't put the key in and turn it on and get the engine started, you're not going anywhere. Wisdom is the ability to take knowledge out of our heads and apply it to everyday living. Are you convinced that you can count on God? Do you know that God's wisdom is sufficient for any problem we face, and His wisdom is available for anybody who wants it? You just need to ask. Now, once we've asked and received wisdom, how do we apply it in our lives? Well, you're in James 1. Turn over to James chapter 3. Turn right a couple pages or two. James chapter 3. How do we apply wisdom to our everyday life? Verse 13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that come from wisdom." See, folks, as I said, knowledge comes from books. Wisdom comes from the book, the Bible. That's where the wisdom comes from. And notice that we show wisdom by the way we live and how we act in humility. See, humility is not weakness. Literally means strength under control. That's meekness. And James talks about two kinds of wisdom. There's the wisdom that comes from above, and there's the wisdom that comes from below. And James makes the contrast between the two. So look at verse 14. This is the wisdom from below. "But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, don't boast about it or deny the truth." Folks, for people who don't know the Lord, their life is filled with uncertainty. They don't know what's going to happen to them. You all remember back in Genesis chapter 11, the Tower of Babel? People in that world were leaning on worldly wisdom. They decided to build a tower to God. What kind of wisdom is that? You know? Build a tower to God. So they all got together and they started doing that, and God confounded their languages so they didn't understand it. Can you imagine on your way up, you ask this guy, he gave you a hammer, and you turned around and you said, "Give me another hammer," and he goes, "Huh?" They confounded the language. Nobody knew what anybody else was talking about. See, faith doesn't work when we're trying to do things our own way. We need God to come to us, and He's the one that needs to drive our lives and give us peace. You know, we're in an area of our lives, we're in a time in our lives where acronyms rule. LOL. What's that? What is it? Laugh out loud, right? IDK. I don't know. BRB. Be right back. Here's one straight out of the world. WIIFM. What's in it for me? What's in it for me? See, wisdom from below is all about me.
Amen.
Selfish ambition is all about getting ahead. Me. No, I'm not going to sing Toby Keith's song again. Yeah, I am. I want to talk about me. I want to talk about I. I want to talk about number one. Oh, my. Me, my. What I think. What I like. What I know. What I hear. I like talking about you occasionally. But right now, I want to talk about me. See, that's the world's view. They're all wound up in themselves. And look what verse 15 says about that. "Such wisdom does not come from above, but it's earthly, natural, demonic. For where there is jealousy and selfishness, there is disorder and every evil practice." This word disorder describes an instability, a state of chaos, a state of confusion. Does that sound familiar to anybody? If you're trying to live without Jesus Christ, you won't have purity. You won't have peace in your life. Now, folks, that's the wisdom from below. Then we talk about the wisdom from above. Instead of bitter envy, selfish ambition, biblical wisdom operates very differently. Verse 17 says, the wisdom that comes from above, first of all, it's pure. Then it's peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Worldly wisdom wants to crown itself. It wants to show everybody about us, me. Heavenly wisdom crucifies itself. You want to talk about God, not you. And the two main distinctives of wisdom that come from above, first of all, it's pure. And by the way, remember I said James was the half-brother of the Lord Jesus? Y'all remember that? For those of you that don't remember that, James is the half-brother of the Lord Jesus. And what he is doing in the book of James is talking about the Sermon on the Mount. It's amazing. He starts off by saying it's pure. That's Matthew 5:8, the pure in heart. See? So he's going to take some of the Sermon on the Mount. And that refers to holiness and living totally sold out for the Lord. Wisdom understands that sin is stupid. Have you come to that place in your life when you know, when you've done something wrong, you go, that was the stupidest thing I've done today? I usually say that about 7 or 8 times a day, but, you know, it just keeps going on and on. But what we need to understand is, what we sow today, we're going to reap tomorrow. Wisdom never says, go ahead, sow your wild oats. No. Wisdom never says, if it feels good,
do it.
No. Wisdom says, well, everybody else is doing it. No. Wisdom never says, well, God will understand. Yeah, God understands. He still hates it, but he understands. You see, wisdom is pure. And it tells us that we're supposed to keep our lives pure and holy. And that's what Jesus said. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So wisdom from above is pure. And then it says wisdom from above is peaceable or peace-loving. See, purity speaks of our relationship to God. Peace-loving is our ability to get along with others. Now, what's the great commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and your being. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. James just said in those two short verses what the Lord Jesus said. If you find yourself always looking for a fight, then something ain't right. Something not right. Wisdom not only overcomes sin, but it overcomes strife. Real wisdom doesn't go looking for fights. It tries to end the fights. Real wisdom avoids arguments and disputes over anything except those things that are truly important to the body of Christ and to our faith. The first thing to do is to make peace with God. Now we know how to do that, don't we? We need to trust the Lord. That's, you ask the Lord to forgive us. Paul said in Romans 5:1, therefore, since you have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It comes right out of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will see God. If you're not right with your brother and sister, you can't be right with God. You cannot. James tells us that wisdom from above looks like, you ready? Just very quickly. Wisdom from above is considerate, or it's gentle. A wise person never deals harshly with other people. You may deal firmly, and you may deal lovingly, but you never deal harshly. So let me ask you a question. Are you gentle and reasonable with others? Or would you say that you're harsh? You're quick, you're short with your answers. Wisdom from above is also submissive, or as some translations would say, easily entreated. Are you approachable? Are you willing to listen to other opinions? Or do you always have that need to be right? Gotta be right. It goes on to say wisdom from above is full of mercy, or it's reasonable. That's the idea of kindness towards those who are less fortunate? Are you compassionate with those who are hurting? Do you look for practical ways to help any way that you can? Again, Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, the Lord said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy." It also says, "Wisdom from above is impartial." That word means making distinctions. Do you treat people the same way, or do you show favoritism for one group or another group? A true Christian really shouldn't do that. We ought to love everyone. Is that right? For God so loved that world, and we're supposed to emulate the Lord Himself, and He loved the world, so we're supposed to love the world. Now, that doesn't mean we love what's going on. Doesn't mean we love the sin. We don't. We hate the sin. Also says wisdom is sincere. You don't say one thing to one person and another thing to somebody else. A person whose word can be trusted. Would people say you're hypocritical or that you're the real deal? I hope you all say you think they're the real deal. And then it goes on to say, wisdom from above produces good fruit. Do you see spiritual fruit in your life? Do you? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, oh yeah, self-control. These two kinds of wisdom are very different. Worldly wisdom leads to some pretty foul fruit, folks. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, "Now the works of the flesh, worldly wisdom, are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalry." Thank you.